Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here's your host, Scott Luton.
Hey, thanks, Katie. Great to be back in the studio this morning. Second show of the week, no less. Just like yesterday, we got a fantastic conversation teed up with business leaders doing big things across the end-to-end supply chain. So let's welcome our guest today. We got the A-team here. Elba Prejai-Gallagher, founder of Show Me 50, longtime UPSer, big friend of the show. Good morning, Elba.
Good morning.
Glad to have you back. Joe DeSantis, managing director with FTI Consulting, and member of our Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Glad to have you as well. Ashley Liebke, president of Vision Media Group. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning, Scott.
And my business partner, Jessica Clayton, founder of Talent Stream and board member with Apex Industrial Crescent. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Glad to have you down here as well. So before we get started, let's share some good news, right? Everybody needs some good news?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Great.
So yesterday we had our good friend Ben Harris, the Metro Atlanta Chamber, on the show. Ben also serves on our Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board. Now, Ben made a big announcement. Georgia had recently been named the number one state to do business in, yet again, for the fifth year in a row, which is unprecedented. Area development based the ranking on 11 factors, including the overall cost of doing business in Georgia, which is lower than other states, the competitive labor environment, which we know good talent is found here in Georgia, and leading workforce development programs. A lot of good work being done by Quick Start. So we all need some good news. Thought we'd start off the conversation on a high note. In case you're curious, anyone curious about the top five rankings, where the other states have made out the top five?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Georgia was number one, as we said. We can't say that enough. Texas, number two. Alabama, number three. Tennessee, number four. And South Carolina, number five.
Wow.
Great pro-business
Southern
states.
Wow. Southeast.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So a lot of good news, a lot of things going on here in Metro Atlanta and the state of Georgia, a lot of things going on in supply chain. Our first guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Elba Prejai-Gallagher, again, founder of Show Me 50 and chair of our Apex Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force. Good morning again, Elba.
Good morning.
So Elba has a new role at UPS as well. She was telling us about in the warm-up show. And she's also what we're proud of as fellow Apex members, Apexers, if we can say that. Featured, Elba is a featured presenter at Apex 2018 up in Chicago, which takes place, kicks off Sunday, right?
It does, yep. So I'll be on Sunday.
So a big honor. There's only about 60 or so folks across the whole supply chain business world that are featured presenters. What are you going to be talking about out there, Elba?
So I'm going to be helping people who are non-financial managers get a sense for how do you position your business case for getting investment approval and how to really examine your projects to be investment worthy.
Awesome. And you will also be featured in our Apex Atlanta Regional Supply Chain Leadership Forum later in October. So just continue down the keynote circuit, right, Elba?
That's right.
Well, glad to have you here. So what are we going to talk about today? The High Performance Minute, right, which is you're known for, well known for. We got it trademarked.
That's right.
So what are we tackling today, Elba?
Yeah, so today we're going to cover three interesting topics. Number one is we're going to talk about some complexity costs. Don't know how popular or known that terminology is, but after our conversation, you'll know a little bit more. We're also going to cover through the work I do in Show Me 50 and the Gender Gap Task Force, a sticky situation at work in a meeting, and how would you handle it? And we'll have a candid conversation about that, and we'll wrap up with just kind of what's going on with Show Me 50.
Perfect. Easy conversations, comfortable conversations, right?
That's right.
Well, glad you're back. So, Elba, let's dive into, you know, supply chain complexity continues to grow exponentially, right? So give us some observations around complexity costs.
So, you know, we all have our companies, our work groups, and we're constantly doing more and more. But how often do we sit back and say, are the things we're doing still necessary and relevant to our strategic priorities of the organization or of our work teams? And so what happens over time is that we don't tend to go back and what I call prune. I'm a gardener. I love growing roses, right? So you've got to prune your roses to have more flourishing blooms. And so when we do that, we embed in our organizations an enormous amount of compounding costs that we don't prune back. And so I think similar to Lean Six Sigma in supply chain and really being effective at eliminating waste, that's what today's modern workforce needs to focus on. How do we reduce and eliminate complexity? And not all complexity is bad. You know, what you want to do is reduce the bad complexity, but make the good complexity less complex, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Perfect sense.
Yep. And so I was going to give a couple of examples of how you can recognize the impact of these complexities, right? So think about training and learning. If you have a very complicated process, it's going to take people longer to learn, right? If you've got only 10 functions of some process, it's much easier and less expensive to train people than if you have 100 functions of some process, right? Similar with maintenance of some type of equipment. If it's got, you know, 100 parts versus 10, clearly it's going to be much more expensive. And so what are we doing as leaders to identify all of the components and really decide what you still need and having the courage to cut out what you can eliminate?
So I'm going to throw in a little factoid. I know you appreciate data, always data-driven,
yes.
Supply chain professional. So we were reading an American Management Association article in some of the prep for today's show. And according to the AMA, for companies that are attacking complexity, they can expect to get anywhere from 15 to 30% reduction in costs in significant portions of their business. So, I mean, we're not talking about lip service and a plant in the lobby, or, you know, this is real stuff that impacts the bottom line.
That's exactly right. And so what I want to leave the listeners with is a little buzzword that they can use and keep in their mind and the mindset that they have to adopt. And that's something called smart variety. We were talking in the pre-show about how we love ordering online and the Amazon effect, right? So we want variety, we want convenience, choice, and control, but you got to be smart about it. So everything that we do in our jobs, whether you're in the operation in a warehouse or whether you're in a desk job like me running financial analysis, you've got to really anchor around some key elements to have smart variety. So the first thing is strategy. Is what you're doing on a daily basis aligned with your corporate strategy? If not, then you got to start pruning some things. Also, customer coverage. When you think about, am I providing enough depth and breadth in my portfolio for the core customers, right? Think of the key elements.
You got to keep customers in order to, I mean, that's the easier thing to do, right? Keep current customers rather than going out and.
Exactly. Yeah. Try to get new ones. You know, profitability. You know, once you account for the complexity costs, is your product profitable, right? Not everyone includes all costs. So you got to think of the complexity costs. And then I thought this one was real interesting as I was reading, which is be deliberate about the benefits you're trying to achieve when you're cutting costs, right? For example, you want to know, am I cutting this cost to reduce fixed costs, to improve working capital, to improve the service levels? And once you know that, then you remain focused that that's the goal instead of, you know, just cost cutting and pruning for pruning's sake.
So let me see if I can recount. Strategy number one, customer coverage number two, accountability number three, and being deliberate about the benefits number four. Is that right?
That's right.
Perfect.
You got it. Yeah. Just active management of everything you're doing, tasks and products.
Love it. So any final thoughts on complexity before we dive into the other topic?
Really just, you know, be conscious about the work that you do. Is everything you're doing really necessary? Is it, you know, does it need to be done? What can you free up so that you can work on value added work?
Awesome. Great. And I always love how your high performance minute is very practical. So that there's not enough pragmaticism in a lot of times in management and leadership. So let's dive into this next topic.
Okay. Elba.
I'm excited about it.
Great. So as you know, Scott, as the chair of the Gender Gap Task Force at APIX and through my nonprofit, we work very deliberately to engage men and women in conversations. When we get a little uncomfortable and close to something that we want to improve, that's when you can really make dramatic change. So I'm going to throw out a scenario to our group, and they don't know exactly what it is. I want you to imagine that you're in a senior leadership role, and you're in a talent management review session. You know, HR's in the room, and they show you the statistics of representation across race and gender.
And they do?
Yes. In this scenario.
Ashley, I'm at an important point, because this is not a question for Scott. This is a question for Joe, Ashley, and Jessica, and the whole room. So, Elba.
Why is that?
Well, so I can share in the complexity of the answer,
okay.
Right?
So anyway, you're in this meeting, and HR shows up the numbers, and the highest level executive in the room looks around the room and observes that the leadership table is composed of half women. And so he says, wow, there's 50% women in this room. You know, that's great. So immediately people really get uncomfortable. So my question to you is, what would be a way to handle that? Most people say nothing and just remain uncomfortable and squirm in their chairs. So what do you guys think of that scenario? What should happen? Should anything happen? Have you ever experienced something like that?
All right.
I think one of the women leaders that has been most passionate about that issue, that has perhaps had to struggle through her career and be challenged, should speak up and say, yeah, it's been a long time coming, and there's some really accomplished people sitting at this table, and I'm glad to be partners with all of you.
Mm. That's an awesome answer.
Yeah, love it.
I think if somebody has that experience either with their company, the current company, or even their past company, they can speak to the benefits of having a diverse leadership team and the different perspectives that are brought, whether it's race or gender.
Love that.
Definitely.
Anybody else?
I think I would probably question why they were surprised.
Mm. Right. Well, those are great answers and perfect. What I wanted to leave back to your practical application of what we learn is, what scripts can we give and examples can we give folks so that they feel a little more comfortable if this happens in their situation? So the one I had come up with, and we didn't talk about this before, was very similar to both Ashley and Joe here, which is that the woman... Because men tend to be very afraid of what to say, right? They're going to say the wrong thing. So the woman leader in the room should say, hey, you know, this is great. And we do need organizations that will benefit from diversity of thought and that match our customers and our employees. So thank you, whoever said it, right? Thank you, John, for bringing that up. And if you don't mind, can we take a couple of minutes? Let's just go around the room, because people tend to be very uncomfortable. I'd love to hear from some women and men in the room. What do you guys think? And then say, Scott, what do you think? Right?
Absolutely.
And then force that conversation. And once people talk about it, it's so liberating, because it's not the elephant in the room.
Great point. And I think that's, you know, I think a lot of times when you hear 50-50 or diversity or some of these other words, you get eye rolls, or you get folks, like you said, Elba, where, you know, men especially can clam up because they don't want to say the wrong thing. And for someone that's used to putting his foot in his mouth, you know, I'm double zipping my mouth sometimes. So, you know, how can we, to your point, encourage the conversations? Because if we're not talking about it, we're never going to get comfortable addressing it and making progress.
That's right. And so I would encourage everyone here at this table and everyone listening, you know, try to get your script together. What will I say if that happens?
Yep.
And same thing with race. On Tuesday, I was at the TAG Diversity and Inclusion Awards luncheon, and Jackie Rushen, a leader here in Atlanta, gave a phenomenal presentation. She's an African-American, and she talked about how on her board, she helps them have these difficult conversations. And she says, you know, one time I asked the board to describe me, and they were terrified, and they wouldn't say black. And she said, you know, she's like, I am a black woman. It's okay. You can say that. Right. But so it's not until you have those honest conversations that you don't begin to feel more comfortable.
I love it.
It's interesting. You taught me something. It's important to share, I think, is that the saying that you appreciate equality could be offensive and turn people off. How
That's
shocking.
Right. So Ashley had used the word gender equality in something. And I said, you know, don't use that, because people tend to be off put by it. So you try to use other language to help them feel more comfortable at the beginning.
So Elba is illustrating why she's such a frequent guest on our show, because it is, I walk away with several lessons learned, and then I go home and talk with Amanda about it. Right. And you're constantly just, you know, trying to look at that business with other people's perspective, right?
That's right.
So as we wrap up here, Elba, and glad to have you back again, let's talk about Lean In, right? You've got a very successful Lean In circle. What's your, you shared a goal in the warm-up conversation.
That's
so talk
right.
about that.
So I am super energized. I was privileged enough to go to Palo Alto and have dinner at Sheryl Sandberg's house. Sheryl
wow.
Sandberg, COO of Facebook and the founder of the Lean In book and Lean In Circle program. And so I am inspired to launch 5 Lean In circles by the end of the year. Super easy. It's a matter of just setting up a meetup. It can be wine at your house. It can be lunch at your office. And so if people will reach out to me at elba@showme50.org, I will help you. These are awesome ways for smaller companies, even that don't have a budget for any types of women-specific leadership development. These Lean In circles are great, and they also engage men in the conversation just like this. So please do reach out to me, elba@showme50.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and really appreciate what you've done with Apex Atlanta. I mean, you know, when we create these task forces to really, because we want to move the needle, and it takes leadership bandwidth and muscle. And so I appreciate what you're doing there. Looking forward to seeing you in Chicago. All right. Our next guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Joe DeSantis, Managing Director with FTI Consulting and member again of our Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board. Good morning again, Joe.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. I know you're traveling a good bit. FTI, to our audience, if you don't know, they've got over 4,600 employees worldwide, and they're helping over 50% of the global 100 companies. So one of the reasons why Joe is in an airplane all the time. And FBI is known as the leader of corporate restructuring, which is, as we were learning in the warm-up show, and you know, we just need to start recording and taping those warm-up shows. There's some good conversation there. So Joe, to start off with, you know, you and I have known each other for a while. Tell us a little about your background.
Absolutely. One more little plug.
Please.
We just were named the best consulting firm to work for by Consulting Magazine. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Congratulations.
We love accolades. Congrats.
So about my background, many, many years ago now, I started my work and career with Ernst & Young back in the finance area. And like many people, you know, spend 2 or 3 years there, kind of cut your teeth a little bit. And then I went to work for Avon Products that most people know, and spent nearly 15 years at Avon in a number of roles, both in finance and operations, and had the great opportunity to be able to travel internationally and actually live in 3 different countries. I lived in China, Mexico, the UK, and then I finished my time at Avon here in the US.
Who had the best food between China, Mexico, and UK? Quick trivia question.
Mexico.
Okay.
Really? Although I did eat some
and tequila.
I did eat some very interesting foods in China.
Okay, so. Awesome.
By the way, it is Hispanic Heritage Month, so
that's right.
I like that you like the Mexican food.
But and then I went to work for Office Depot, and I spent about 3 years with Office Depot running their Southeast supply chain market, and then moved on to consulting. And I had my own consulting firm for about 5.5 years before I had the opportunity to join FTI, which I did about 2.5 years ago.
Well, and really appreciate your perspective. You've been a big advocate for the Apex Atlanta chapter. I think we met through you hosting a plant tour at the DC up in Buford when you were with Office Depot. So really appreciate your support, helping folks learn best practices, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, as we talked about, FTI is working they help power global business, right? So what are some of the key issues that FTI is helping your clients tackle?
So on a more generic note, cost optimization is right now critical for most of our clients. They are looking for creative ways to reduce their operating costs, but at the same time, make sure that they're not making the mistakes and having the top line impact that a lot of times when companies look at cost reduction, they unfortunately make bad decisions, which have longer term impact. So we focus more on cost optimization and like Elba, taking out complexity and a lot of focus on Lean and Six Sigma in our approach with our clients. The other thing that we're helping them right now, there's a good trend going on with acquisitions, and their companies need a lot of help with network optimization. So what's the best network for them to operate in a more efficient manner, particularly as they either merge with other companies or acquire other companies? Mm. And then lastly, one of the things that is impacting most companies is freight costs, which we are in an unprecedented environment right now with driver shortages here in the United States. And that is having a significant impact on capacity, which transportation companies are taking the advantage and raising their prices. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of economics there. Yep. And so we're having to be very creative with our clients on helping them look at transportation costs and other modes of transportation to try to reduce their overall freight costs. Mm.
Cost controls and elimination of waste is going to be one of the themes of today's show, it seems. So speaking of cost control, what are some of the things you're seeing across the global business environment this year?
So one of the things that we're seeing not only here domestically in the United States, but even globally is labor rates. So traditionally, many companies moved outside of the U.S. to take the advantage of lower labor rates. But even recently, we're working with a client that's based in Germany, and they had previously set up an operation in the Czech Republic to take advantage of lower labor rates. But right now, those labor rates are starting to increase where there's no financial benefit to have the operation in the Czech Republic versus Germany. And obviously, while the developing markets still have labor rates that are significantly lower than here in the United States, but when you take into consideration increased labor rates and then the cost to move that freight and get that freight back into the United States, the gap is starting to shrink. Mm. So it is creating a little bit of a different view on how you should have a global network. The other key thing that there's two other things that are really starting to impact companies that we're trying to help them with is talent retention. We have a very, very tight market here in the United States with regards to employment, both at senior levels as well as the hourly workers.
Sure.
And that is becoming a pretty significant challenge when you are not able to actually find workers to increase shifts or to add production labor. It is becoming a pretty significant issue. So we're having to look at ways to be more creative inside manufacturing facilities by staggering shifts and working through lunches and breaks by moving people around different production lines. And that's creating a little bit of a challenge. Mm. As the millennials kind of move into the workforce at the management level, it's not uncommon for them to spend 2 or 3 years at a company and move on, where in the past, most people would spend 5-10 years at a company. Mm. So that's just creating some challenges for the companies as well.
If I can interject here. So yesterday we had John Holly with Kumho Tire George on the show, one of their HR leaders. And he was really talking about how you don't have the same big picture incentives anymore. Pensions, pensions, of course, were used for years to retain folks and, getting creative. As we were talking in the pre-show, Ashley, about not just signing talent and getting and acquiring talent, but you got to keep it, right? And how the lack of pensions these days, that's not exactly helping us retain employees, right?
Correct. Yeah. Right. And not only that, it's not even often compensation. Mm. It's really kind of a total package that they're looking for. So
great point.
I have the advantage of being able to work from home when I'm not in an airplane or a hotel. And that's great advantage for me. And I get to save an hour and a half commute.
That's right.
Each way.
Oh, and here, well, we're fortunate in Atlanta not to have any traffic, right?
Exactly. So,
but you make a great point there, Joe. It's not just about compensation. It is about the whole package. And Jessica can definitely speak to that. Flexibility, being able to work remote, the commute, is the office on MARTA or, other cities, the mass transit, everyone loves options, right? So,
and by the way, the flexible working is essential for more diversity of thought and retaining diverse candidates and employees.
Yep.
So you're,
and then lastly, Amazon.
Yes.
Right. Everybody loves Amazon.
What?
You might've heard of that small company. You may have ordered one or two things from them, in the last couple of years.
Oh yeah.
But everybody loves the advantages that Amazon provides consumers, and it's fantastic. But they put a tremendous amount of pressure on companies, specifically in setting and changing consumer expectations. The same day delivery, next day delivery, and the breadth of services and products that they're getting into is really starting to create challenges for a lot of our clients. And we are trying to figure out how to work with our, other vendors out there like UPS, mm-hmm. to try to figure out how can we create a competitive environment for them to compete with Amazon. And that's becoming very, very challenging just because their size gives them the ability to offer, you know, free shipping for same day or next day delivery. And it's becoming a challenge. So the Amazon effect is great from a consumer perspective, but it's definitely creating significant challenges for other companies that they have to now overcome.
You know, I just saw something yesterday or the day before, a Bloomberg article that Deliv and Roadie have partnered with Home Depot to offer same day delivery to give the Home Depot customers, you know, more flexibility in how they get their stuff faster. Well,
you know, speaking of Home Depot, we all know that they just rejoined the Gartner Top 25 supply chain list, which is great for their supply chain team. We're hopefully going to have them on in a future show to talk about some of the things that's driving that performance. But back to your point, Joe, Amazon, it's about to get more challenging. I don't know if y'all saw the news a week or two ago where they had initially ordered roughly, I mean, the number's rough here, but 5,000 Mercedes-Benz vans for their delivery partnership program. Well, they just re-upped that order to 20,000 vans due to the reception of the program and the popularity. So, and believe it or not, all those vans are going to be in place, if I've got it right, over the next 12 months. They're going to be on the road in the next 12 months. So they remain committed to their partners, their current partners, but we will see how that continues to evolve. So, but hey, for Mercedes-Benz, which is right around the corner, you know, just like UPS right around the corner, someone's really happy. So, you know, as Elba said earlier, it's all about EPS, right? Earnings per share.
That's right.
There we go. That's not going to help our driver shortage either.
You know, that's a great point, Joe. And that probably that side of that ripple effect from that good news for some and challenging news for others is not talked about enough, because that, you know, we could dedicate a week's worth of shows, a month's worth of shows on this driver shortage.
Well, so, and throw in another couple 10, 20, 30,000 cars with the Uber business model and where Lyft is going. I mean, we have a sharing economy. So every one of us can take a couple hours of our day if we want to and supplement our income by doing these different things. And we have access to all these programs. So the smart variety, we have so many options. And I think these are going to start being utilized by the retailers too.
Great point.
And one of the nice things that while it's painful to try to adjust and react and try to create competitive advantages, we are seeing some of our clients, even very large clients, start to look at how can I set up an entire network domestically that I can hit a consumer in 2 days to kind of match the Prime mentality. 2 days free shipping to all my customers. So while that's going to be challenging and create advantages for transportation companies, at the same time, it's going to be great for consumers as well. So you won't only be able to get Amazon in 2 days. You may be able to get HomeDepot.com in 2 days and other very large companies.
It's definitely become more of an expectation than a, you know, plus or benefit.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the new normal is free, perfect, and now.
Hey, that's a T-shirt. Well, one last note again about Home Depot. They're part of their supply chain performance overhaul or initiatives is to allow for same day delivery in the 48 contiguous states, which is a, as we all know, supply chain that's a curveball to be able to promise it. What was that phrase you just said?
Free, perfect, and now.
There we go. So Joe, thanks for joining us. To learn more about FTI, FTIconsulting.com, right?
Absolutely.
And any, we got to get you back on the keynote circuit. What's your next conference maybe? Or event or?
So my next conference actually is an internal conference in Santa Monica, California.
Wow, that's tough life.
Wow. I'm going to be a panel speaker for our business transformation practice. And this is, like I said, internal with our company. But at the same time, since we are a large company and offer, you know, services across multiple industries and practices, we are doing some internal marketing to say how we can actually work together even within our own firm.
Wow. Love
great.
It. Love it. Well, thanks for as busy as you stay. Thanks for carving out some time and
absolutely.
Joining us today.
It's been great. Thank you.
Great to reconnect with Joe DeSantis. All right. And again, FTIconsulting.com if you want to learn more about their very robust list of offerings. All right. So up next today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Ashley Liebke, president of Vision Media Group. Good morning again, Ashley.
Good morning.
So glad you're here. Ashley also talked about supply chain chops. Spent the last 3 years as a VP with DePosco, right?
Right. Now
software.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then the previous 12 years with UPS, building out technologies and making the UPS supply chain happen, right?
Yeah, it was exciting. I got to work with over 16 million users of online web-based applications right when cloud-based software was really coming into play. Because as Elba said, you need it now. And the way that you get access to real-time data, we've gone from, you know, on-premise in the warehouse, on the shop floor to every consumer around you has a mobile supercomputer, aka a smartphone, in their hand.
That's right.
Access to data. And so businesses are having to adapt to this new kind of data and fulfillment economy. So I've been working in this space for a couple decades now.
So speaking of what businesses are having to adapt to, going back to complexity and supply chain, it's not going away. You've got companies that are having to figure out how to hit not just one curveball, but three curveballs, a slider, and a 102 mile per hour fastball. I'm stuck in Braves mode since Atlanta is home of the first place NL East champion, Atlanta Braves. Go Braves. So let's talk about how are you seeing companies tackle this newfound and growing complexity in supply chain?
Well, we've got it right. Amazon has really ushered us into just a totally new paradigm. We have to think about things differently. And there is a totally new expectation of perfect and now. And, you know, we're enabled with so much information that we can easily switch companies when we're doing business. So if we have a bad experience, we can move around. So you have to be really nimble and able to adapt quickly. I think there's three major driving forces as a result. There's one, companies are still looking for growth, and we're not talking 2.2%. We're
right.
Talking, let's get some 10 to 17 to, hey, let's go for 34% growth. And the way that you do that is you not only look at providing a better service and specializing what you're doing, whether it's a product, you can't be everything to everybody, but you know, if you're Skechers shoes, you know, you're going to make sure they're super soft and comfortable, and you're going to stick to some killer designs or whatever it may be. If it's Walmart, you're going to have extremely low prices.
So you got to know your customer.
You got to know your customer, yeah. And you need to really know yourself. And so that's where you got to look at your costs. As Elba said, really understanding your finances and what your cost drivers are. And in order to become profitable and really leverage any kind of cost savings through some strategic initiatives, you really have to look at the way, in my opinion, that you're using data. Data in this world is the new oil. And to me, the technology that we've been building and putting out to customers and the ability to put technology applications has happened so much faster because of computer processing speeds and how fast computers are in themselves and how much you can actually do on a phone or a tablet. So looking at how you leverage data, how you make data accessible, and that again requires the cloud. We've gone to knowing that we have to have connected systems. I was speaking actually last week at the Wireless Technology Forum over here around the corner in Buckhead, and we were just talking about how everything really has to be connected. You cannot have any gaps. You cannot have a 6 or 12 hour lag in terms of when a truck picked up product. You need to know where everything is and in real time. So the systems create this viscosity with the data. You want the data to move faster and be able to reach more people. And so I think as you look across, how are we going to grow? You need to look at that cost optimization, looking at your bottom line. And there's a couple big cost drivers in supply chain we know. You know, the trillion-dollar threat is unsold inventory and especially also returns. And then, you know, lastly is the shipping costs themselves, which just continue to go up. And that's just the name of the game. That's what happens.
That's right.
There's fuel. And then on top of it, you have this direct-to-consumer economy where You know, the whole supply chain has completely been upended. Mm. It's just imploded because in the old days, let's think about the 80s or 90s even, when you used to make stuff, manufacturing, and then you'd send it to a wholesaler and it'd end up in a warehouse. And then you sold it to distributors. Mm. And that was the value chain. And that's how economics worked. Everybody tried to squeeze out their margin until something landed in a store.
Margin, what's that?
Margin, yeah. And we won't get into taxes, but we can talk margins. But, you know, you went and consumers went to stores and they picked up their goods and they brought them home. Now you pretty much buy the majority of things, even your groceries, and have them delivered to your front door. And so consumer deliveries are naturally more expensive. There's a whole carbon game going on with all of that, too, that's important. But, you know, that's changed. So now you can have goods that are basically not even in your possession that you're selling. But as long as you have the data about those goods, you can now be a retailer. You can have partners and networks of networks for sourcing that allow you to expand the number of SKUs and variety that you offer to your customers. I think Elba mentioned smart variety. And there's a number of books written about the long tail. And that's what we want as customers. We, you know, what? It only comes in 3 colors? It should be, you know, in 19 colors and 22 size varieties. Right. And there's 17 fashion seasons.
Yes. And their customers are going to buy five pairs of shoes or 5 dresses or 5 shirts. They're going to try them on at home when they get there same day or next day. And then they're going to send 3 back or send 4 back, right? And
all for free.
Air quotes.
Air quotes there. Yeah. And that really touches on Ashley, reverse logistics. When you're talking about some of the curveballs that are facing supply chains these days, you know, we toured one of the big retailers return facility down in South Atlanta not too long ago, and to see what these things come 300 trucks a week of returns is what that team has to process. And each truck is different. They don't know what's coming. Talking about curveballs that supply chains are having to tackle these days. Reverse logistics is certainly one of them.
Yeah. Our good friend Jim Brill at UPS, we love constantly hearing from him about the importance of returns. And, you know, they always have that National Returns Day right after Christmas. It's like this huge peak where everybody's returning things. And the retailers, they just scream in pain because it's like piles of merchandise, sometimes not even in original packaging. Yep. And so warehouse technology is getting kind of exciting where, you know, we all sitting here all have our mobile phones. And used to have to get these pretty complex, more expensive type hardware and devices to be able to scan items, to accept a return, to be able to put it back away into inventory. You want that data. You know, if you're sitting on a $400 pair of gorgeous shoes and you want to sell them and it's hot season, you need to get those shoes back in inventory, which means you need to get that data scanned. And so it's exciting to see the software become extremely usable. They know there's a labor problem, and between millennials and older people like myself who have to wear glasses and whatnot, you know, you need the interface to be very easy to use, very simple buttons, actions, and transactions that flow through seamlessly. And so it's exciting to see all that data come together through those connected devices. Mm. And you got printers and scales and things that can do labels. So nobody's holding a pen anymore. It's really about captured data at every point of the transaction and movement. So you can sell things, get the higher margin. And really that's what enables that speed to market. So instead of getting something in 2 days, now you can potentially get it same day. That's got to all happen behind the scenes.
And the customers don't sometimes appreciate everything that does take place behind the scenes in order to get those Christmas or the holiday gifts same day or next day, especially in the holiday crunch, which is, has that started already? The holiday crunch?
They got Christmas trees for sale.
it's incredible.
Yes, Halloween is over.
Yeah, Halloween is, wow.
I think I heard Amazon's going to start delivering Christmas trees.
And then Kohl's just announced they're going to hire 90,000 people.
Wow.
Over for the Christmas.
Wow.
Goodness gracious. So Ashley, kind of wrapping up your segment here. Glad you could make it today. How can folks get in touch with you, Ashley? What's the best way?
So my direct email is ashley@epic.com. epic-taste, TASTE.com. In my spare time, I also do food reviews and blog. And right now we're building out our new site for Vision Media Group.
Well, exciting. That is outstanding. And clearly, in our little segment here today, you can tell that she's been there and done that, especially with supply chain technology, right? And marketing. Are you doing any consulting in the supply chain space?
Yeah, I'm always out there working with some clients, and you'll be seeing a little bit more of me. I'm excited to be joining Elba actually at the Georgia Manufacturing Show on October 10th, I believe.
That's right.
And we will be talking more about educating people and why earnings go up when you have a diverse leadership. And I have a couple other conferences and radio shows being lined up right now. So
awesome.
You can find me on LinkedIn. I love Perfect. To network and connect with folks. And really, I'm just pro-business. I love to see Georgia growing and attracting amazing companies and all the supply chain synergy that happens here between carriers and 3PLs and folks that like me that can help advise clients on their next best step.
Well, when Elba said that as we were rounding out today's show that she's got the perfect guest, she delivered. So Ashley,
well,
really appreciate what you brought to the table today. Check out Ashley Liebke at on LinkedIn.com. Also, you mentioned the Georgia Manufacturing Summit, October 10th. That's going to be a home run show. 800 folks. They've got Gulfstream's president keynoting. Our good friend of the show, Jason Moss, who founded the GMA, is working his tail off to deliver. Talk about best practices and networking. It's just going to be a great day on October 10th at Cobb Galleria. Check that out at GeorgiaManufacturingSummit.com. All right. Thanks for joining us, Ashley.
Thank you.
All right. So up next today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome my talented business partner, Jessica Clayton, founder of Talent Stream and board member with Apex Industrial Crescent. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Scott.
This is kind of a little different of a conversation that we've had. We're used to having.
Absolutely.
But hey, it's been a record-setting five-year run for our firm. It's been very rewarding. We've been partners now for it'll be 3 years come January. But, you know, like any other organizations facing talent acquisition obstacles, you know, it hasn't come with its own set of challenges, right? It's not easy, right?
Hey, when your product is people,
it's not an easy button.
You can't always guarantee 100%.
But so Jessica leads Talent Stream's recruiting operations and team there. And she also speaks to highly talented candidates daily. So frontline. So Jessica, as we think about the million conversations you've had probably this year, what are some of the key observations in the talent acquisition space that you can share with us?
Absolutely. I think it might be helpful, too, to understand the space we recruit in. So obviously supply chain, skilled manufacturing, if you think production supervisor up, and then engineering. So I would say supply chain and engineering right now are two of the hottest markets, especially in Georgia, which is really a main area of focus for us. And the things our clients are looking for have been really the main common themes in this morning's conversation. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing more of our clients invest in supply chain talent, especially at a management level. In fact, we have placed 8 supply chain managers in the past year. So really looking for candidates who can implement those lean, those CI methodologies, to contribute to cost savings across the supply chain. And we're seeing more of a marriage between supply chain and production and that understanding that they really do need to work together.
And to get those 8 supply chain managers, we had to order an extra big net from Amazon, right?
Absolutely. And same day delivery.
Same day delivery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think also to Ashley's point, that deep understanding of ERP systems and how technology is working across the supply chain is an extremely important skill set that our clients are looking for. And that really echoes those same skill sets in the engineering market. So looking for manufacturing and industrial engineers and using them in a different way than just coming in and laying out the facility. You know, how can we use those lean methodologies, that Toyota production system, to look at our supply chain from procurement to delivery throughout production, and where can we make those improvements all for that cost saving, that reducing the complexity, and where can they cut that waste?
Yep.
So with all that said, finding that talent, which, you know, you alluded to at the beginning, Scott, has been a major challenge for I would say across all industries, but definitely in the supply chain, manufacturing, and engineering space.
Would you say that there's only a handful of companies? You know, we use the word employer of choice, right? And there are some companies that, you know, they've got folks lining up at the door. I mean, I'd probably say Amazon. I'd probably say Chick-fil-A. You know, but others, you know, others. We're all struggling to find talent, right? In many ways, whether you're experts in the talent acquisition space, or whether you're a retailer, or whether you're a manufacturer, right?
Absolutely. And with unemployment at an all-time low, you know, whenever it's less than 5%, it becomes a candidate's market. So, in fact, 80% of our placements this year have been what we call passive candidates. So passive candidates are those who are currently employed. They're not actively pursuing a new opportunity. Much to, I guess, our disappointment, we don't have benches of candidates waiting outside our
door.
We have to really go out and search for those. So, most of our searches, I was looking at some data last night, and really most of our searches this year, we have had to reach out to an average of 47 to 52 candidates to get one pre-screened,
wow,
to get one candidate that wants to talk to us about the opportunity. And then we need to talk to four candidates to get one submittal for our client. And then depending on the level of position, really, it takes us anywhere from 3 to 10 candidates to get that placement.
So, you know, as you illustrate with those, with all of that work to get to folks that will raise their hand and say, yes, I'm interested in that, you know, and then we get in position to submit. I think that really, and we don't want to make this to be a talent stream commercial, because I think this is what recruiting firms do. And this is part of the value proposition for working with external recruiting firms.
Absolutely.
Right? Because the modern day HR professional and HR leader, they're tasked with a wide variety, their plates are overflowing, you know, policy, re-enrollment, leadership discussions, talent management review, all, you know, all the stuff that it is so critical. It's very difficult. You're illustrating how much time it takes to go out there, really shake the trees, and find those passive candidates that are A-plus additions to a team, right?
Absolutely. And then once we get them on the phone, we have to really sell that opportunity and convince them why they should leave their current organization for one of our clients. So it's really changed the recruiting game quite a bit, this low unemployment rate. And now, you know, we really become advocates for our clients trying to sell that opportunity. And I think when we think about the observations and what that means to our clients or to just any companies that are looking for talent, it's what we're hearing from our candidates that they're looking for in the marketplace. And I think a lot of this speaks to what we have all talked about this morning, and that is culture is extremely important to our candidates. We're hearing more and more that people are looking for that whole package that Joe mentioned, more than just salary. They want to know that they're being heard regardless of their level. They want autonomy and the ability to make decisions and express ideas. They want to feel that they're making a difference and really affecting that bottom line, because again, they were most likely hired to initiate some sort of cost savings. So growth. So
let me recap those real quick.
Yeah.
So I got culture, number one, the whole package that Joe talked about, being heard, which is a good one. That's a great one. Autonomy, making a difference. Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. And growth opportunities are important as well. And, you know, most people, when you think growth opportunities, you think promotions. But really, especially in the millennials, what we're finding, they want training. They want professional development. And the reason they leave after 2 to 3 years, as Joe mentioned, is because they want to learn more. And so they often are starting to get bored with their job. And we're seeing companies, I've read articles recently about companies doing rotational programs that allow them exposure to different areas of the business or different locations. And that's really been able to retain that talent.
I know Elba and I, oftentimes you can volunteer or just make yourself known for various opportunities to just say, throw me in the fire. Let me show you what
absolutely
I've got.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, on that rotational, which is such a great point, a friend of the show, Jack Allen with Cisco Systems, they have got a wonderful model for rotating. They're working with two of their supply chain partners. And as they hire new college grads or entry-level folks, they are rotating them amongst these three different organizations where these folks are the new employees are gaining, to your point, a wide variety of new skills across the different functions that make a company like Cisco work. So what a great idea.
And then last few things that I'll hit on are remote work. As Joe mentioned, that's a perk of his job and definitely something that we're asked more and more, especially on the analytical side. You know, anything that doesn't require hands-on in the warehouse or on the manufacturing floor, can I work a few days from home? What flexibility as far as hours? You know, those are things that really could probably save companies money and allow them to attract that talent at, you know, a low cost, in a low cost way. Commute being a major driving factor of that, no pun intended, in Atlanta. And then salary. You know, as I said, salary is not what everybody's looking for. However, in a candidate's market, they have a lot more, you know, ability to request that bump in salary. So if they are a passive candidate and they are looking to make that change, they are typically looking for a 10 to 20% increase or bump in their salary. And that's sometimes a pretty hard pill to swallow for some of our clients is how can, you know, they be making this now and be looking, targeting, you know, that larger number. So, but in this market, they're getting it.
Yep. So in one point, you know, knowing your customers has been another common theme of today's conversation. And in recruiting firms, you know, we've got to serve two customers, three, if you include, you know, our own TalentStream team members, but recruiting firms have to serve the client, who the hiring manager who's going to, you know, make the offer, has the need, has the pain at sometimes, and the candidate. You know, that phrase, which is cliche now, candidate experience, that's really important. That's a real thing. And so we've got recruiting firms have to make sure they're taking care of the candidate and they're advising them as best we can, right?
Yeah, and absolutely. That serves two purposes, really, too. We talk about in TalentStream all the time our two client mentality, which is our end user and our candidates. And we've got to be an advocate for both because we want it to be such a great match that our end user is going to be happy and our candidate's going to be happy and they're going to stay together forever, right? So
in that case, an end user or your candidate may become an end user.
Absolutely. And many times have. Yes. Right. Yep. Absolutely.
I like how Joe thinks.
But I think that goes back to the interview process too, and echoing what candidates are looking for in their job, where they want to be heard in the interview process. They want to feel wanted and they want to feel that they're going to become a part of a team where they will be valued.
Mm. Well, and what I like what you've assembled here, again, we weren't after a TalentStream commercial. We're very careful about, and we want to share our best practices with everyone that's struggling with a lot of the same challenges, which is finding great people. And what I like about your list, these aren't our challenges or what we want or what just our candidates want. This is how it works, right? This is
absolutely
what folks are after.
They're the customer.
That's right.
Yes.
That's a great point.
Absolutely.
Especially with unemployment where it is and you know, so we want to wrap up here today. I'm glad Jessica could join us. You know, Jessica lives up in the upstate of South Carolina, where we do some work as well. And
number five on the list.
That's right.
We're going to move up there.
Hey, you know, on that note, South Carolina's done a great job of landed business between the transformational B&W investment, you know, 20 or so years ago, to Boeing in the last little bit. Volvo has made a big investment down there near Charleston. They've done a great job. Great job of getting aggressive. And it's not just about tax breaks, right? Workforce, from what I hear, and I'm not an economic development expert, but I hear workforce is what top of mind. And when companies are looking to make a big plant, big splash, they want to know about workforce, right?
100%. Oh, it's super exciting right now. I know Flexport has moved into Midtown, and that was a big win for the state. It's trying to revolutionize the data between Ocean, which has notoriously been super legacy and just manual, very manual, fax, paper, phone calls. So it's exciting when they get those incentives. It may be tax breaks, but they're also getting actual cold hard cash to supplement their business, and they're extending those benefits and value to those employees that they're recruiting. And it's exciting when you see a company that's doing some super innovative things that's like an Inc. top 50 or something, super high growth.
Lots of growth. Back to that. You know, going big, which you're talking about in your segment, not 3%, 3.5% growth, you know, 30, 40, 50% growth. Let's hit a home run, right?
You got to go big. You
got to go big.
Don't go small. Go just start really attacking things that are going to give you the most bite off your bottom line.
Love it. Well, so I want to transition. First off, I want to Jessica Clayton, founder of Talent Stream, my business partner. It's been a very challenging almost 3 years, but very rewarding. And I appreciate all you do to make us successful.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. But I want to go back to Ashley. Lots of turn signals. To find out more information about Talent Stream, talentstreamstaffing.com. We'd welcome your inquiries. If you want to compare notes, if you have a need, of course, we'd love to tackle that. But Jessica, as you can tell, knows her stuff and is happy to share insight. So Ashley, you mentioned Flexport, and I've grabbed my phone, these data devices that we all have, we're married with here.
Supercomputer. Instantaneous now.
That's right. So Flexport is they've been the great friends of Apex Atlanta and Supply Chain Now Radio, and they've got a great event coming up on... Let's see here if I can work this. Well, I'm not sure. October 26th. So Tyler Daniels is part of the Flexport team. He's also a board member over at the Transportation Club of Atlanta. On Thursday, October 25th, that evening, you know, they've moved into the Bank of America Plaza, which is I believe their new Atlanta or Southeastern headquarters.
Yes.
Up on the 45th floor or, you know, high over above looking at the supply chain city. They've got a great event teed up, Freight for Thought, where they're featuring a couple. They're featuring Flexport COO. They're featuring leaders from Georgia Pacific. And they're going to be talking about all the things that are presenting challenges for moving freight globally. Mm-hmm. So check that out. You can find Tyler Daniels on LinkedIn. Of course, you can find Flexport on their website, flexport.com. And they're also hiring. So,
hey, and I want to give a shout out to Danielle Hill, an APIX member, CLTD certification. And she's also a volunteer with Show Me 50 and the Gender Gap Task Force. So she went to Flexport. That's awesome.
Awesome. Congrats to her.
Yeah. I am so glad you mentioned Danielle, because she also recently earned her CLTD not too long ago, right?
Yeah.
Great APIX, great supply chain volunteer and leader there, and Danielle. So congrats to her new role. So we're going to close out the show in a couple of quick announcements and just prepping the team here. If you have any big events on your radar you need to talk about, I'm going to put you all on the spot here in a minute. But check out our new website, supplychainnowradio.com. It went live this week. It is a 1.0 version. Maybe hearing some of the things Ashley shared today, we make that a 3.0 version next week. But supplychainnowradio.com. Next up on the show, we're going to be featuring Karen Shilstra, easy for you to say, with Genuine Parts, Greg White with Curo, and Tim Monahan with the Effective Syndicate. That tapes October 5th. Other upcoming events, got a slew of webinars. You can find out more about that at talentstreamstaffing.com or apixatlanta.org. The Georgia Manufacturing Summit, which we mentioned, Elba and Ashley and lots of folks will be there. We're leading a Trends to Track and Supply Chain panel event where we're featuring a variety of folks, Southwire, Kumho Tires, Legility, and Descartes. And again, you can get your tickets at GeorgiaManufacturingSummit.com or Alliance.com, whatever you feel like at the time. Details have been finalized, as we mentioned on the front end of the show, the APIX Regional Supply Chain Leadership Forum. Who came up with that title? That doesn't roll off the tongues, does it?
Need an acronym.
October 19th and 20th, Georgia Tech's going to be hosting us. Elba's going to be one of the four keynotes for this full-day Saturday session that's going to be focused on professional development. We got Mike Wasson with Tosca, our 2018 APIX Atlanta Company of the Year. He's going to be speaking along with several other folks. You can find out more information on that by shooting me a note at evp@apixatlanta.org. All right, so as I promised, what events are on y'all's radar? Any?
So for me, again, yes, reiterate, please. October 10th, come out and see Ashley and I at the Georgia Logistics Georgia Manufacturing Summit, and we are going to be helping small and medium-sized businesses bring lean in circles into their organizations to really drive engagement and inclusion in the workforce.
Five more lean in circles this
year. That's our goal by December 31st. It's super easy. Reach out to me, Elba, at showme50.org. That's show, M-E, the number 50.org.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. Any other events before we wrap up today?
Yeah, I just made a note, but I think I'm going to be going to the Georgia Manufacturing Summit.
Love it. Awesome. Hey, all right. So Jason and Marjorie, hope you're all listening. We're certainly shouting the good word from the mountaintop. So a great event coming up on October 10th. Any others?
I'm looking forward next year. I'm going to be getting on the books with the Atlanta Technology Professionals to talk more about customer experience and your personal brand. Right now, my company, Vision Media Group, we're really trying to help professionals and businesses with their image. So I'm running different headshot sessions at various events. I do plan to host a Lean In Circle with a wine tasting.
All right.
So well, I might come to that one.
Yeah. Guys and gals. And really focused on media and producing video right now for clients and expanding the business.
Awesome. Ashley, terrific. Well, glad to have all of y'all on today's show. I thought it was a great conversation, very frank. Want to thank again the whole team today. Let me grab my page here. My three kids have ruined my memory. So I want to thank Elba Prejal Gallagher, founder of Show Me 50, longtime UPS, for joining us. Joe DeSantis with FTI Consulting, member of our Apex Atlanta EAB. Ashley Libke, president of Vision Media Group, and Jessica Clayton, founder of TalentStream and board member with the Apex Industrial Crescent. Thanks for joining us. I want to thank our sponsors real quick. Apex Atlanta, of course, we've been serving the metro Atlanta area for almost 60 years. Let's not forget about TalentStream. We bank certified recruiting and staffing firm that specializes in helping organizations find top talent in the engineering, manufacturing, and supply chain space. For more information about Apex, apexatlanta.org. More information about TalentStream, talentstreamstaffing.com. And with that said, that is a wrap, Katie.
Yeah, it is. It was another great show. I feel like we have Supply Chain Now Radio all the time. I love it. All the time. We were here yesterday, today, broadcasting from Supply Chain City. And we will see you all next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.